You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Michael Baker, University of Otago professor and epidemiologist, joins us today from Oslo, Norway, to talk about the latest updates on COVID in New Zealand, following an article published in the New Zealand Herald on Sunday. Although New Zealand has done comparatively well in managing the health crisis, hospital admissions are still high and a number of people are expected to die from COVID this year. I started our interview by asking Michael if people still needed to be worried by COVID.
Well, I think we should be concerned about it, but in a constructive way, because obviously we've moved from that phase when we didn't know much about it, and I think it was quite terrifying for a while at the beginning. And now we know a lot about it, and so I think we need to be to use that knowledge really constructively to minimize the harm that it's causing to us.
COVID accounted for about 6.3% of total deaths in 2022. Is this number expected to rise or fall?
Well, I think it's definitely falling this year. So it looks like we're going to see maybe 1,000 deaths this year from COVID-19 based on the year-to-date, if we project that out. So it's definitely our number one infectious disease killer now. But it's certainly moved down the list compared with the other causes of death in New Zealand.
Who is COVID most likely to affect?
Well, it can infect people of all ages, but those that have poor outcomes, in other words, get really sick, go to hospital and unfortunately die sometimes, is very much older people and also people with underlying health conditions. And that hasn't changed throughout the pandemic. So the big difference now is that people have immunity to the virus to varying degrees based on vaccination and having had the infection and having protective antibodies and other parts of the immune system that protect you. So that's the positive news. We are adapting to having this virus circulate. The not so good news is that it's still a major cause of illness. And at the current rates, we would expect perhaps 14,000 hospitalizations this year. So that's a really big impact on our health system that none of us want, because that's preventing other people going in for other procedures. So that's not good news. The other area that we're still very concerned about is the long-term effects of this infection. At the moment, we don't know how many people have these effects, how long they last, how severe they are. And it's partly because this is still a new virus that we're still trying to understand. But at the moment, you have organizations like the World Health Organization saying 10%, maybe more, of people who survive the infection do have long-term effects. But some studies are saying it's fewer, some are saying it's more. But this is certainly a virus that can affect many parts of your body, the lining of your blood vessels, how your brain works, your general level of energy and fatigue, how your lungs work. This is a multi-organ disease, and we're still learning about it.
The World Health Organization has said that COVID-19 is no longer an emergency pandemic. Do you agree with this statement?
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't need an emergency response anymore. They have a particular term they use, and that's a pandemic or public health emergency of international concern. And that means that it needs some regulation. It may affect travel and trade and so on. And so it's to try and coordinate the global response. So we've moved away from it being or needing a disaster response. It's still a pandemic by definition. It's still affecting multiple countries. It's still causing new waves of infection. It's still unpredictable. So for that reason, it's still technically a pandemic. But at some point in the next, perhaps this year or next year, we'll start to get more confidence that it's a relatively predictable threat, more on par with influenza. And at that point, we'd say it's effectively endemic. So in other words, it's there all the time to varying degrees.
I read that Maori and Pacifica people are more likely to be affected by COVID. Why is this?
Well, there's multiple reasons. One is that Maori and Pacifica are less well served by our health system and society in general. We've still got the effects of racism in our system and discrimination. I think that's something that we should be very concerned about and we need to keep working on. The other related consequences of that is that Māori and Pacifica and middle age have a higher prevalence of long-term conditions that make them more vulnerable. And also they have lower vaccination rates. They're underserved by the health system. So some of these are long-term problems that we really have to get to grips with. Some hopefully we can fix more quickly, more rapidly, particularly access to vaccine.
So it sounds like we need to get more people vaccinated overall. Is this correct?
Well, I think now it would be very much focused on older age groups and those who are more vulnerable. And I'm still surprised that, if we look at even the second booster, not even the third booster or what we call the fifth dose, but the fourth dose, it's a bit confusing. Even then, only a little over 50% of people who are eligible have actually had that fourth dose. And let alone getting their fifth dose, which everyone over 30 is eligible for. So I'm still really surprised that people are not taking advantage of this free vaccine because it is still life-saving for people. It will reduce your chance of serious illness. And it does seem to offer some protection against long COVID. So I think that's really important. It's not such an issue for younger people. Young people should still have had their primary course and hopefully their third dose. But certainly there are older New Zealanders who are missing out on this.
Now that it's winter, is there another wave of COVID infections expected to occur?
Well, yes, we would say that that's possible. I mean, certainly winter, people spend more time indoors. There's certainly the time when other respiratory infections transmit much more effectively. Some we virtually only see in winter, things like RSV and many others, and flu obviously peaks in winter. But the thing that's interesting about COVID-19, it hasn't got a seasonality yet. I mean, we saw our biggest ever Omicron wave in February last year in the height of summer. So that's because it's a new infection and we don't have immunity to it, and that's why it's able to spread at any time of the year. But over the next few years, we might see COVID-19 settle into the same pattern of other respiratory infections. It certainly hasn't done that yet. But at the moment, we've just coming out of what looks like we're coming out of our fourth wave. And this wave is much smaller than the three we had last year. So that's good news that it does appear to be settling into a more stable pattern. But the thing that I'm finding still quite concerning is we're not seeing the baseline rates drop to a really low level. We're still seeing something like 300 people a week going into hospital. And that's, quite a large number of seriously ill people. So I would really like to see those numbers come down. One of the remarkable things is that, and this is about New Zealand's overall response, we're the only country of any significant size that still has no excess mortality or cumulative excess mortality in the 3.5 years or so that we've had the pandemic.
Yeah, so are you basically saying that the people that died in New Zealand of COVID might have died anyway, or that other people could have died and therefore our overall mortality rate has not increased?
Yes, well, New Zealand is the only country of any size that has had no excess mortality cumulatively since the beginning of the pandemic. So that's over the last 3.5 years since January 2020. So if you look at a country like the US, they've had about 0.3% of their population has died over and above what they would have expected. That's driven by the pandemic. And that represents about 1.2 million people who've died from this infection. And it's pushed down life expectancy there by about 3 years. So it's a massive effect on public health. New Zealand has avoided that entirely. And the reason is that we've kept our COVID-19 mortality very low, but we've also, or the measures we use, have also lowered mortality from other respiratory viruses. So that means we're sitting on zero excess mortality at this point, which is really an amazing achievement.
What should people be doing to minimize their risk now?
Well, I think apart from or in addition to vaccination, the main thing is that if you have respiratory illness, and initially you won't know what it is, it's just self-isolate. Assume it could be COVID-19, it might be influenza, it might be one of the other respiratory viruses. But I think we need to have a new culture in New Zealand that you don't go off to work or school or social events and ignore your illness and infect the other people around you. And I think that it's been very good that New Zealand's kept the self-isolation approach for COVID-19, and effectively it's covering other respiratory infections, because you might have to wait a few days to do your COVID test to see if you're positive, maybe at day 3 or day 5 of your illness. So I think that's a really important cultural shift we've had. The other big change that I think is hopefully getting more established is thinking more about the indoor environments that we share with other people, and that's thinking about ventilation in particular. And there's still one situation in particular where people should think about masks, and that's in poorly ventilated, crowded places. And the most, or probably the worst place, is still public transport, unfortunately. And if you think about busy commuter buses, where people might spend hours in that environment every week, and the ventilation is very poor. And we know this because we do CO2 monitoring in a range of environments, and buses, unfortunately, have very high levels of CO2, which means you're rebreathing air from other people. And so, and if you look at, say, if you visit Asian countries that are used to managing the things like SARS and then COVID-19, people wearing masks, it's just part of their culture there now, and I think we need to look at that in New Zealand, perhaps in particular over winter.
That was Michael Baker giving an update on the COVID pandemic.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.